Let's turn to Leviticus, the 16th chapter. And the first thing that I want you to note is the terminology, because the terminology that's going to be used in this chapter is not the terminology that we use today as we talk about the sanctuary. And that becomes very obvious as you look at the second verse. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron thy brother, that he come not at all times into the holy. And what word you have supplied? Within the veil, before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Now we, in our terminology, say of the place where the mercy seat is, that it is the what? Most holy, or the second apartment. So in this chapter, where you find the single expression, the holy, it's referring to the most holy place in our nomenclature. You'll find also as we go through this chapter that the term tabernacle is used to refer to the first apartment. And then you have the altar referring to the court. Now I have given you this card and I want you to use it to do your own marking on, and you can keep it in your Bible in that way. And I especially mark these things down, and I put it in our own nomenclature, most holy and holy place and the court, and we'll follow through on what actually happens step by step. Now, let's continue to read. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy. And every place where it says that, I'm going to use our expression that we use, most holy. With a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. Now on this day of atonement, Aaron came as the high priest in type, representing whom? Jesus Christ, our great high priest, as he entered into the ministry of the most holy place. Now think then, when you read of Aaron, he is there standing as the typical high priest. And the antitypical high priest is Jesus Christ. All right, now let's keep reading. Fourth verse. And he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have on the linen breeches upon his flesh, and he shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore he shall wash his flesh in water, and so put them on. Now, the first thing that you and I are going to have to discard in our thinking are the pictures that we have seen painted for us all through the decades. The picture of Christ as he enters into the services of the most holy place. And what is the picture? What are the pictures that we've had painted for us? How has he been attired? In the pontifical robes of the high priest, with all the gorgeous array. Look at the pictures. What does the Bible say the high priest was attired in on that day for that service? Linen from the top of his head to his ankles. And these were called the holy linen garments. And not until he completes the work of the typical service of the Day of Atonement are the linen garments laid aside. And I think that's found in the latter part of the chapter. Yes, the 23rd verse. And Aaron shall come into the tabernacle of the congregation. That's the first apartment. And shall put off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the holy, and shall leave them there. And so the linen garments were worn from the moment that he began the services of that day into the most holy place until he had completed them and went back into the tabernacle to change clothes. And again I repeat that this text there says that he shall have the breeches upon his flesh, he shall have the linen coat, he shall have a linen girdle, he shall have a linen mitre upon his head. Linen. And I'm emphasizing this for a very definite point. This dare not be overlooked, because we're going to run into it again. Linen was the attire on the Day of Atonement. All right, now let's continue. And he shall take of the congregation of the children of Israel 2 kids of the goat for a sin offering. 1 ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall offer his bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make an atonement for himself and for his house. All right, now the bullock that Aaron offers is the atonement that he makes in his own behalf and for his house. All right, now let me ask you this. Let me ask you a question. If the bullock had hands of confession placed upon it for confession of sin, could it be used to cleanse? No. Is this bullock's blood used in cleansing? Absolutely. All right, now let's do some more studying. These are points that need to be clarified, and these will clarify concepts that we have had as traditional concepts that cannot be verified by Scripture. Let's continue. And he shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the 2 goats, 1 lot for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. Now, was there any hands of confession put upon the head of the Lord's goat? What? It's not recorded, you see. See, I could come by that alibi and say it's not recorded, therefore maybe it was. No, you say definitely it wasn't. It wasn't. That's definite. Then why shouldn't it be definite in another place where you don't have something contrary? Just because a thing is not recorded, that does not make it that it happened. It's not recorded for a purpose because it didn't happen. On neither the bullock nor on the Lord's goat was there any hands of confession that would put sin upon them. They were to be used for cleansing. And we'll quote that as we continue on in the study of Leviticus 16. Now, the study of Leviticus 16 is very simple and very clear and should be easily understood. And if we would go and study the Scriptures as we ought in these prophecies and these services and not rely on tradition, we would make the same progress that our pioneers' fathers made when they moved from the tradition of Miller into the Second Advent movement and called our attention to the sanctuary. And in so doing, we would probably discard a little bit of our tradition, but we would not discard the sanctuary. All right, now let's continue. 10th verse. But the goat on which the lot fell to the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat to the wilderness. Now, there's no point of us denying as a people that the type says that the scapegoat had an atonement made for him, that there was to be an atonement made with him. But we need to understand what that atonement was and how it was made and other circumstances. Now, continue, 11. And Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and for his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from off the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense beaten small, and bring it within the veil. This is his first entry within the veil. And he shall put the incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat, that is upon the testimony that he die not. And he shall take of the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, that is in the front. And before the mercy seat shall he sprinkle the blood with the finger seven times. Now let us notice a few things here before we go further. He takes the blood of the bullock and sprinkles it within the veil before the mercy seat 7 times. Now, it says that this is a sacrifice for himself and for his what? House. Where do you find that? Give me your text. Give me your Bible text. All right? Let's think. In the book of Hebrews, is there anything talked about of a house?
Yes.
You know, if we'd study the whole book of Hebrews and bring it together, we wouldn't have so much trouble with Ford and some of those distractors that we have that are teaching new theology. All right, notice the very thing that's being discussed at the very first part of Hebrews, the third chapter. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider whom? Apostle and high priest of our profession is who is whom? Christ Jesus, who is faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Now notice the fifth verse. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. This whole picture of Moses and his house is a representation and a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after, but Christ. As a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Aaron stood as a representative of the great high priest. Jesus Christ. And as Moses had a house, so Christ the Son has a house. Whose house are we? Christ in the final atonement makes an atonement of himself for his house. Whose house are we? Christ makes provision for us. We are that house. In order that we might have, and doesn't Daniel the 7th chapter say that the Son of Man comes to receive a kingdom and the saints? Who are the saints? The house of Christ. He comes before the Ancient of Days. Where does Christ come as Aaron? In the most holy place before whom? To make an atonement for his house. But remember, there's much involved in getting his house ready for presentation to his Father. All right, now let's come back to Leviticus 16. The 15th verse. We have now the bullock taken in, sprinkled. Now the next, then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering. And this goat is called what? The Lord's goat. Now didn't Abraham say of God that he himself will provide a sacrifice? God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. God sent forth his Son. God gave Jesus. But didn't Jesus give himself? You have both of those pictures here in Leviticus 16. Not only does God provide a sacrifice, but the Son gives himself, the bullock, for himself, for his house. But he's also, at the same time, in the sacrifice of Calvary, the Father's gift and the Father's provision for this whole picture. And this dual aspect of God's gift and the gift of the Son is combined here in Leviticus 16 in the offering of the bullock and the offering of the Lord's goat. We haven't perceived this. We haven't studied this carefully. We've been content with the tradition of the fathers. We haven't been willing to develop the truth that has been put in our hands as a sacred trust to a higher development than we received it. We still aren't studying as we ought. Now let's continue. We've read the 15th verse. Well, let's see, read it again. Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy, that's the most holy, because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and all their sins. Now notice what it says there. He shall make an atonement for the most holy for what reason? Two things. because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions in all their sins. Now, the transgressions in all their sins are written down in what? Books. The judgment is set and the books are open. But where is the uncleanness of the children of Israel? In the heart in themselves. You see, you can cleanse a record, but if you only cleanse the record and you leave the individual unclean, you're going to have a bunch of sinners in heaven. There's a dual aspect here again. Because of all their sins and all their transgressions and because of their uncleanness. But I want you to keep in mind as we study that the uncleanness is not taken care of at this point. Well, what did he do? What did he do with the recording of confessions that was on the horns of the altar of incense? Did he put any of the blood on it? All right, then he had to come out of the most holy place, didn't he? And he had to come into the holy place. He moved. The Day of Atonement is not a stationary judgment. And this is exactly why on this little card I haven't put it this way. I have put it this way to indicate the movement. According to Leviticus, the 16th chapter, which is a type, there's three stages in the judgment. There are three movements. First, he moves from the most holy to the tabernacle. Now, what's there in the tabernacle? What's only been recorded in the tabernacle? What did we study yesterday? What? Corporate sins. Corporate confession. I should say corporate confession. Corporate confession is all that's recorded in the tabernacle. Nothing individual. Where is the individual recorded, the confession? In the court. Now let's continue. 17th verse. And there shall be no man in the tabernacle of the congregation when he goeth in to make an atonement in the holy, until he come out and hath made an atonement for himself and for his household and for all the congregation of Israel. And he shall go out unto the altar that is before the Lord and make an atonement for it, and shall take the blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat and put it upon the horns of the altar around about. In the third move, the bloods are mingled. The blood of the bullock and the blood of the goat are made and poured into one, and the atonement is made in regard to the altar in the court. Now let that point from the Scripture sink home. And I repeat again, there can be no confession on the head of an animal that's used for atonement or for cleansing. Now let's continue. And he shall sprinkle the blood upon it with his finger seven times and cleanse it and hallow it from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. When is the uncleanness of the children of Israel taken care of? Not until the third step in the judgment. The judgment that is in the court at the horns of the altar of burnt sacrifice. Then's when the uncleanness of the children of Israel is cared for in a dual offering of blood, the mingling of the blood of the bullock and the blood of the he-goat. Now, my brother, my sister, all I'm doing is reading to you the Scripture. Now let's continue. And when he hath made an end of reconciling the holy, the tabernacle, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both of his hands upon the head of the live goat. Now, who is Aaron representing? And by laying the hand, it's what? Transfer. And confess over him the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. I have no problem with this and what's done with this scapegoat, because if my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has purchased my salvation and cleansed me from sin and assumed that responsibility, He has a right to put them where He wants to put them and demand of that one who created sin what He wants to demand. The wrath of the Lamb will be revealed, and I do not care to question that wrath. In fact, I will be able to sing, if I'm saved, "Worthy is the Lamb, and of God just and true are Thy ways, Thou King of Saints." And may I say this, there's going to be nothing too good for Satan. And the more he gets, the more the saints should rejoice. Because he has been an adversary, that old servant, the devil, has caused us trouble and brought us into hard places many, many times. Why should we hold any briefs for him? And why should we have any questions when Christ, as represented in Aaron, puts his hand upon that goat and sends him away to bear the transgressions that he himself has redeemed? I don't care what kind of atonement he makes with him. Get him out of the way. I want an eternity free from him. I've had enough of him in these score years that I have lived. And this is the picture of Leviticus 16. And would to God that we would just study the sacred scriptures for what it's saying about the final atonement and forget the tradition of the elders. And find out what the truth is. Now with this background, and with this understanding of Leviticus, the 16th chapter, we're ready now to finish Daniel 7. And we'll be able to see the reason why there is the Son of Man coming at a certain point of time for a certain purpose to get His kingdom. And so we're going to close it right at this point.